Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Good tweet here from Traded Danny, who's been a long time Nats fan and has always been great. As, you know, we've been talking Nats for years, day in and day out on the show, interacting with us. He says, stop with all the Nats talk today. I need some Cardale Jones analysis.
Ding for the zing.
Who starts a game first, Cardale Jones or Dwayne Haskins?
Don't you do that to me, Grant Paulson.
I'm curious.
Don't you put that evil on me, Grant Paulson.
I'm interested. Red October is continuing, and it is brought to you by PVI Office Furniture. Fast, excellent, affordable. Business grows with PVI. Visit their showroom in Frederick, Maryland, or online at PVIPVI.com today. A couple of house cleaning items brought to my attention. Our buddy Josh Luckenball, used to work here at the station, texted me and said, today's Ted Lerner's 94th birthday. Happy birthday to Ted Lerner.
Happy birthday, Ted.
Wouldn't it be nice?
Wouldn't it be nice?
At age 94, for a guy who was 8 years old the last time a D.C. team played in the World Series in 1933, if his Nationals tonight, on his birthday, punched a ticket to the World Series.
It'd be pretty sweet, I would say.
Yeah, pretty neat little story.
A little poetic thing.
Also, Wookiee of the Year, who's one of our better tweeters?
Prodigious Twitter, you could say.
Twitter followers?
Twitter Azure. Twitterificator.
Tweeps. He's a tweep of ours. Wookiee said, so much is happening right now. It's hard to keep track of it all. Did we get to the fact that yesterday was the first time Victor Robles' mom watched him play in the United States and he hit a dinger for her? Did you see that story?
I did not.
So Robles last night when he got to home plate did a thing where he took his helmet off and it was like very obviously like to the crowd. And you're going, what's happening here?
Is he doing like, so I noticed that obviously. Yeah.
He was asked about it after the game. It was the first time his mom has ever seen him play baseball in the United States.
That's pretty awesome.
Week and a half after being on the shelf, she sees him, two hits and a bomb.
Okay.
22-year-old Victor Robles.
Okay. That's awesome.
Isn't that great?
I had no idea. So did they mention that on the telecast?
I don't know.
Or was it post-fact?
I had no volume. This was I saw a tweet from Britt Giroli. And apparently,
God, that is cool.
She's like super high energy like he is. The story that Giroli tweeted last night from The Athletic was that when he was playing, I think for the DR Academy or whatever it was after the Nats signed him, they signed him at 16 years old.
Uh-huh.
So at some point as a teenager, remember he was a big leaguer at 20. But at some point, his mom ran onto the field to celebrate a walk-off home run he'd hit with the team in the Dominican.
Oh, my gosh.
So it was like all the players and him doing their little jump up and down thing, and his mom, like, tackling everyone out there. And so the Nationals had to talk to her about it. And we're like, we can't do whatever that was.
Ms. Robles, thank you so much for your son. He's wonderful. We love him. You got to stay in the stands.
So I think she stayed in the stands last night.
Nice.
But, yeah, he had a homer for his mom. Pretty cool.
That is sweet.
I'll never hit a homer for Jeanine Paulson. I'd love to make her proud in some other way. But I don't think I'll ever be able to hit a homer in a major league playoff game for her.
And don't you sell yourself short for that.
Chances are not great that
they're
I will.
They're not great. I mean, you're 31. You're still eligible, but.
Would that be a 0% chance or would it be higher than that?
This is a great question.
You know what I mean?
Like, yeah, of course.
It's not completely impossible, yet I could never hit a home run in a million years. And also, I would never play for the Nationals, so it should be zero.
It's among the least plausible things that could occur, but you can't say it's a 0% chance, right? Or could you, definitively?
I don't think you could.
Well, it's. I know exactly what you're saying. I know what you mean.
What's to keep me from taking a lot of steroids?
Okay.
Being able to hit a home run and getting signed to like a 10-day contract. By the way, Sean's shaking his head no, like this is a real thing.
Where are you getting steroids from?
Balco. I don't know. Do they still exist?
I don't know. I think there are very few resources.
San Francisco,
steroids.
Isn't that where it is?
Miami.
Everyone goes
Miami
out there?
Biogenesis.
Ah.
Sega Genesis. I don't know. Okay, so now you're on steroids.
I think you're saying there's a chance.
Are you exercising a lot, too, or are you just taking steroids?
Just steroids. No exercise.
I like this. I like this plan by you.
And then
you have to get really good at hitting.
Right.
But when are you doing that? Are you doing the show still? Or do you take time
doing
off?
Doing the show, but the rest of the time I'm working with like Greg Ritchie in Fredericksburg.
Oh, I like this.
He's the coach at George Washington now.
The George Washington University. Yeah. Yes. Former Pittsburgh Pirates hitting coach.
That's right.
All right. So now you're getting your hands inside. You're working your hips a little bit. You're building your base. You're dropping and driving.
Yeah.
You're getting on plane and you're hitting fly balls.
Out of the yard.
Yeah. You're here to hit fly balls. I'm seeing this. I'm seeing something develop. I think it's a
now
zero.
I need to hit a big league pitcher.
That's hard too.
Yeah.
It's like a zero. It's like a 0 point infinite zeros and then like a one. So it's
right.
Not, you see what I'm saying? Like
there's
it's
a chance.
It's completely not possible, and yet you can't say it's zero.
There's a chance. Carlos in Alexandria, you're on the fan.
Hey, good morning, guys. Great show again.
Thank you, buddy.
As always. Best show in DC.
You're a sweet man.
I wanted to talk originally when I called in about the sort of the arc of the season and how we're sort of playing into Davey's strengths as a manager now as a better inspirational manager than a tactical manager. But Grant, you said something that kind of set me off a little bit. I'm a little bit put off by this Zen Grant right now. I think we ought to embrace the chip on our shoulders. You know, the emotion and the intensity of the moments and. I kind of wish you'd have yelled at Marlins man last night. I think we need to keep up this kind of karma through the
play. The anger. I like that. My mom might not have loved that, but I like that about you. You want a little feistiness. Yeah, Marlins man's the pits. I mean, everybody knows that. There's no reason for you to be there. You're literally on television just so people can see you and go, oh, there's Marlins man. Please leave my ballpark immediately. Now, I don't have negative energy at the moment is the problem.
I'm too happy
right.
to be mad at him. I can still, though, say that he stinks.
Oh, he's the worst.
Right. So, like, this is me on without negative feelings. That guy stinks.
And here's how, like, I'm not, Zen is a good word, but here's how you know I haven't lost my edge. If I had to, like, we're in an elevator together last night, okay? He's getting on an elevator, I'm getting off. Let's say I was just getting on with him, and it was just me and him the whole way up. I wouldn't acknowledge him. I wouldn't say hello to him. He wants me to go, oh, I've seen you on TV, man. Not happening.
Cool visor, bro.
If he's at Buffalo Wild Wings on Half Street and I'm across the street at the bullpen, I'm not walking across the street to say hello to that guy, which that chaps his ass. All he wants is someone to go, you're the guy. You're the guy. Not doing that ever in a million years.
Mm.
Someone could say, hey, if you don't acknowledge that you know that guy right now, I'm going to shoot this gun into your temple. And I'll say, let me call my parents and my wife first.
Why are you going to shoot my Garrett Temple?
Yeah. Can I please just talk to my baby one more time?
One last time.
Dude, I'm going to kill you right now. You got to say, hi, Marlon, man. I've seen you on TV. I've had a hell of a run.
Please answer FaceTime. Hey, honey, I love you.
Got to experience a lot of things. Let me eat a bacon cheeseburger with French fries, please, and call a few people. And then you put it right where you need to put it.
Oh, man.
800-636-1067
is the number. Say hi to Marlins, man. Say hi to Marlins,
man. Just say hi to Marlins, man. All you got to do is say hi. Don't make me do this.
I don't want to do this.
You got to do it. Because I'm not saying hi to that guy. Grant and Danny on the fan. Eight runs on 11 hits for the Nationals last night. Anthony Rendon, two hits, two runs. Howie Kendrick, three hits, three batted in. Ryan Zimmerman, two hits, two RBI. Victor Robles, two hits and a homer. Everybody got in on the act. As Steven Strasburg really was the bell of the ball. No Ernie, seven innings, scattered seven hits and struck out 12. I think I saw that he was the third pitcher ever. I think Tom Seaver was the first, Garrett Cole's the other, to strike out 12 without walking anyone in seven-plus innings in the playoffs.
Nobody's ever done that besides those guys?
Yeah. You believe that? You go seven, you
wow.
strike out that many, your stuff's moving that much, and you're missing that many bats, generally you walk a batter. Plus, you're getting in a lot of deep counts, obviously.
Yeah, no, it would make sense, but never in the history of the game. That's pretty incredible.
I think Seaver was the third. I'd have to dig, but it feels right. But it was old pitcher like Tom Seaver.
Right.
Who was a Hall of Fame player.
Yeah, before they changed everything about the game.
And then Garrett Cole and now Steven Strasburg.
How about it? Dominant. Postseason ERA, minuscule.
800-636-1067 is the number. We mentioned that it's Ted Lerner's birthday, 94 years old. There's one other birthday we can celebrate tomorrow. Bryce Harper's birthday.
Oh, very nice.
So Bryce If you were still in Washington, you'd be getting ready, perhaps, to play in your first World Series.
What are you doing now?
But instead, you can go on a little vacation, perhaps a cruise. Maybe you just want to get a few buddies together to play a round of golf. So Bryce Harper, wherever it is that you are right now, as your offseason has been underway for some 2+ weeks, happy birthday.
12 more years in Philadelphia. 12 more years with no trade clause, because that's what you wanted.
He wanted those 13 years.
That's what he wanted.
Let's go to Justin in La Plata on Grant and Danny. Justin, how are you?
I'm fantastic. Gentlemen, just want to say a huge fan of the show.
I've
been listening for years. And hold on. I typically get about 30 or 40 minutes out of each show between driving to work, and I've been listening to through the commercial breaks. I've been bringing my headphones to work and listening. Just so damn excited.
So fun.
And also wanted to say, a couple of years ago, I had a near-death experience. I got some accident money, and that's going to afford me tickets to the World Series once we close this thing out. So I'm just absolutely elated. It's just phenomenal.
I don't want to pry, but I am very nosy, and I'm very curious. What happened? Is this like a car accident?
No, I'm an HVAC technician. I was working at Walter Reed Army Research doing midnights, and what should have been just a typical call for no cooling ended up having me get hung up in 480 volts of electricity,
got shot
out of the ceiling, split my head open, 22 staples, 10 stitches. But you know what? World Series, baby. I got a huge check. I don't care how much tickets are. We're once we get this series locked down, I'm there, man.
Congratulations on the tickets.
Incredibly happy on two fronts.
I don't know what to say exactly right
One,
now.
One, that you are still rolling. That you can call this radio program, and that your baseball team is doing very, very well. I like everything that happened.
Wow.
So glad you're okay.
I'm happy for you, and I'm proud of you. That sounds like a horrific situation, by the way.
Yeah.
Like, you wouldn't trade that for the tickets. You just happen to also want to go to the game.
Right, because a lot of people can get tickets without having that happen to them.
My goodness.
But, man, was that tough.
I don't know if I should have asked that follow-up question.
I'm always nervous when you do.
Yeah. Alex in Houston, how are you?
Hey, Grant and Danny, I am live right now with you guys. I'm surprised.
Hey, man.
Nah, don't be surprised.
I kind of am because I'm out here in Houston, Texas. But, hey, look, man, give me 2 minutes every time it is possible.
Yeah, go for it.
Okay, so I need the Astros to win against the Yankees. I don't like the Yankees. Forget the Yankees. I'm not talking about them. Nationals last night. I'm not condoning what I did last night, but I got stupid wasted, and it was not right. But we won. 8-1 against Cardinals. Cardinals are a legit team. Phenomenal team. Not going to hate on them. But we are finally going to the World Series. Forget the Redskins. DC Sports, this feels like the Nationals 2 years ago. When we finally beat the Penguins. What was the dude that said, We slayed
the dragon, I think, is what you're looking for.
That's the phrase that pays right there.
Yes, the Capitals did get through 2 years ago. The Nationals are right now trying to get to their first World Series ever. In back-to-back seasons, you could have these two teams get to the top of the mountain here in terms of championship series play. Now, I will say, first of all, I think it needs to be said, the Nats have not advanced yet. Chickens are being counted all over town.
It's totally true.
And I get why one team's ever come back from down 3-0. And at this point, it's a formality, you would think, that they advance. But until they do, we have to use words like if and when, hypothetical phrases, basically, because we don't know yet, number one. Number two, the American League team's waiting for you. That's a level up. The Yankees and the Astros. The Nats would be, if they got to the World Series, heavy underdogs. And to that, I would say, okay, let's see.
I will take my chances. Thanks.
They were underdogs against the Dodgers, who kind of are the Astros and the Yankees of the National League. How'd that work out? They were slight overdogs against the Cardinals, but I think a lot of people felt a couple different times in this series, game one, without Robles, without Suzuki, without Daniel Hudson, that's a loss. Last night, Flaherty on the hill, hasn't given up runs in months. That might be a loss. And they just keep winning. So you take your chances. Let's roll the ball out and see what happens. Nate in Alexandria, how are you doing?
Hey, doing all right, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
What's up, buddy?
You bet.
Just kind of curious what you guys think about a game four approach. Let's say say they get to Corbin a little bit. It's close game, maybe a one-run game. We're looking at seventh, maybe eighth inning now. Do you think these guys need to just do everything they can, throw the kitchen sink, whatever they can, to secure the win, or just maybe trust the bullpen, take it easy?
What's the score?
Take game five. Say one run.
I think you act like it's game seven, to be honest with you, for two reasons. Number one, you only have one more game before you get a day off tomorrow. Number two, at that point, you have a lead. You worry about tomorrow. Do what you've done to get here. They've managed Davey Martinez. They've coached the rest of the staff. Each of these games as if they had to win that one. There was no tomorrow, and that's why they're here. In the past, in the playoffs, and this is one of my huge gripes, and to be honest with you guys, this is why they moved on from the last manager. They did not have that urgency in the postseason. You have to manage differently. Every decision is massive. It's why a lot of guys fail in the playoffs over and over and over again. So the answer to me is very simple. If you're up one run tonight and Corbin gives you six or seven,
you nail it down.
You pull out all the stops within reason. What does that mean? Well, it might mean an inning of Anibal Sanchez out of the bullpen, to be honest with you.
Yeah, you're not going to pitch. You know, you probably wouldn't throw Scherzer for a batter or two.
No.
But again, within reason, you're absolutely right.
It means five outs from Sean Doolittle if you need to get another lefty. It means four or five outs from Daniel Hudson. You don't just kind of throw your hands up and go, well, if we don't win tonight, we got three more tries. So we'll go Rodney in the seventh and Rainey in the... No. You use your A bullpen. The guys you used last night, and they pitched well. Two combined perfect innings, four strikeouts for Rainey and Rodney. They pitched because it was low leverage. Tonight would be high leverage. That means you go to the high voltage guys, who, by the way, are rested.
They are rested, yes.
Doolittle and Hudson did not throw yesterday, had a day off before that. So they could both give you four or five outs. The beauty of tonight is, with Corbin going, he hasn't started since game one against the Dodgers.
Think about that.
Pitched in relief a couple times, but he should be able to give you length, 105 to 110 pitches, I would think. Then you've got anyone in your bullpen you want available to you. And there's a possibility if you win tonight again, hypothetically, you're not playing again for 7 days. So you can empty the tank a little bit tonight if you're Davey Martinez, if you need to try to nail down a win.
And tomorrow, you don't want to count on this, but it's supposed to rain an awful lot tomorrow.
It's supposed to be really gross.
Which could complicate things that much more.
So would that...
You might get bumped to Thursday.
I guess they would bang the game, play on Thursday,
right.
Cut out your travel day, and then you'd have Friday, Saturday, St. Louis.
They might add a day for travel still. Who knows? I'm not even sure what they do in that case.
I wonder if they could do that with tickets in the ballpark.
I know.
I don't know.
I'm trying to remember what happened, because remember in 2012 they got rained out one of those days.
Did they?
And I'm trying to remember exactly how it went down, and I can't. But they've also changed the format since then.
Let's see if I text someone and figure that out. I'd be curious.
But yeah, me too.
I would think they would play the games on the correct built-in days that they already are, and they would just not have the
just
day
have no
off.
Travel day. Yeah.
It'd be like a regular season travel and play the next day.
But even still, again, we're getting ahead of ourselves. So who knows if the game tomorrow does get banked? But it would be a potential. It's fine if I have to cross multiple innings with Hudson, Doolittle, etc. Because you know tomorrow is in doubt.
Grant and Danny, the Nats are up 3-0 on the Cardinals. Where are you guys at? You're listening to the Fan.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
First overall pick. Acquired after a 100-loss painful season for baseball fans here in D.C. That shutdown in 2012 that's drawn the ire of so many people.
Yes, that one.
He is better now than he was before this, and he seems to be getting better later in his career as the Nationals early on treated him with some kid gloves coming back from injury at 31. You look at some of the pitchers that teams didn't do that for, like Matt Harvey, and he'll be pitching an independent league ball or wherever he is this year. Strasburg at 31 seems to be building up arm strength and getting better and getting stronger. It shows foresight, and I hope that there are people that will sing the national praises for how they handled Strasburg moving forward.
Well, they're going to have to face Chris Medlin at some point. Oh, no. What's that? He's not pitching anymore. Multiple Tommy Johns because of it. Never forget that the incorrect sort of moving goalpost, weird hot take kind of arguments about they squandered a chance to go to the World Series all reflect around the Nationals followed what at the time was the best practice medical advice. The best practice medical advice. So when you get your knee surgery, when you get your wrist surgery, when something happens to you in your body, you don't have to do what the doctor says because you've got some other goal in mind. No one would ever do that. They went with what the best information was at the time. And that bothers people because it's not their bodies. That bugs certain people that think that these guys should just be chess pieces plugged in on the board to pitch for when they're ready to be amused.
And not only that, though, because I think everything you're saying is correct, but it also completely, and we've talked about this 100 times, and we don't need to talk about it 101st, but I'll just say real quick, it doesn't acknowledge how the series actually played out. That the guy that started in Strasburg's stead threw 6 shutout innings. That literally Strasburg could not have thrown any better. Or that Strasburg in the second half that year was falling apart and his last few starts were really bad. It doesn't acknowledge any of the actual information of the time. It just, well, they can't win the World Series because Strasburg's not pitching and they didn't have a chance in 2012 when they had a 6-run lead in that deciding game in that first round and they blew that game. And so everyone now, not everyone, but a lot of misguided people will still reference that as, you know, some terrible mistake or something they did terribly wrong when they're still paying the price for doing the opposite in New York and they're still reaping the benefits here in Washington for doing it seemingly the right way. Let's go to Eric in Falls Church. The Nats are up 3-0 on the Cardinals. A game tonight at Nats Park just after 8 o'clock. They could wrap up this series with a sweep. What do you say?
Hey, boys. Thanks for having me on. Hey, loved the show for years.
Thank you.
So, yeah, it's Halloween season, and I'm worried that we're treating this I like the positivity, but this is like the third act of a horror movie. And the Cardinals are Jason and Mike Myers and Freddy all rolled into one. We can't be like the kids on that Geico commercial they run 20 times during the games where they make the worst decision. We have to treat the Cardinals, who are the Yankees of the NL. They're the Stepford Wives Yankees in the National League. I'm a Cubs fan. I've been in the division with these guys for over 100 years. We have to put our foot on the throat and choke them out because otherwise they're going to pop back up and we think they're dead. Yadier Molina wears a hockey mask in the games, for God's sake. Like, we got to take this serious.
Yeah, no, you're right. And I think that that's important.
It's a good reminder. You're right.
A couple times today, it's why I've tried to acknowledge this series is not over. You know, this should not be talked about. Like, you will not hear Danny and I breaking down the Astros or the Yankees as a matchup or who's better today. I got in the car and I heard the Junks doing that. I'm going, I get that the percentages are in your favor and that if 100 times you're up 3-0, you know, 98 times, 99 times, you're probably going to advance. But the Cardinals were down 6-0 in a game 5 against the Nationals and probably had a 1% chance to come back in that game.
They set that record.
And they figured that out.
I mean, this is the second most storied franchise in the history of the sport. Second most World Series appearances, second most World Series titles, second most, you know, playoff appearances. They are every bit as storied without that New York, you know, 800% more money than the competitors. This is a really good organization, has been for a long time.
You've got Scherzer going again in this series if needed. Strasburg going again in this series if needed, although he emptied the tank so much last night. I don't know if you can get 6-7 innings out of him the next time he were to throw. You would have Anibal Sanchez, who allowed a hit in 7 2/3, throwing again if needed. And you got a $140 million starter who pitched like an all-star this year, Patrick Corbin, going tonight. So that's 4 reasons why you should find a way to win one of these games. You've won 15 of your last 17 overall. You'd have to drop 4 in a row. Clearly the odds are in your favor. But yeah, don't take your eyes off the prize here. And if the Nationals are having the same discussions we are in the clubhouse today, then that's a big problem. Then there's no way they pull off the sweep tonight, and maybe they are in a little bit of trouble. But I don't think they are. We know this team too well. You and I have been around this group too much. They're showing up to go 1-0 today, Davey Martinez style.
Yep.
And
they've bought in, man. They're all pulling the rope in the same direction.
They know. I mean, some of the guys, whether it's Ryan Zimmerman or Kurt Suzuki, they were here in 2012 for the collapse. They have been around the block. Howie Kendrick, Brian Dozier, this is a super veteran clubhouse. Bunch of dudes in their mid-30s. They know that a team can get off the mat. So I've got confidence that they will not look past the Cardinals, even though it's kind of fun for us right now to celebrate and smell the roses a little bit. Because if you can't do it at 3-0, when can you, to be completely honest with you?
Well said.
But tomorrow, if they were to win, that's when you really have a party. I mean, that's when the whole thing changes and the tone of the show becomes must listen, I would say. Today, there's still business to tend to. This is still a business program on Grant and Danny. Don is in Mitchellville. What's going on, man?
Hey, Donnie.
Hey, fellas, I'm back, man. But, hey, Rizzo, new star pitching was the key, and we there. We there in that moment, young, and he knew. And now the Cardinals, man, they can't keep up. Man, I was reading Barry Spaluga yesterday. He said they brought a knife to a bazooka fight. And the starting pitcher, man, they just own it. And
you're breaking
broke up, Donnie. But
yeah,
the point
is, they haven't been able to match up with the Nats pitching, bottom line.
But, GB, this is how this team has been built for really the last 7 years, right, when you think about it. The design has been we get behind our starting pitching. They're the lead goose. They deal with all the headwind. They keep us in games. That's how we win mid-90s games. That's why we're going to be in this dance. That's why they've won the second most games over that lifespan right behind the Dodgers. Okay, that's how they've always been. And we've been frustrated with postseason, what you want to call them, failures or underperformances or not maybe rising to the challenge. It's always been something else. It hasn't really, to me, been a giant starting pitching failure, right? It's been, oh, this didn't go the way we wanted. You know, you think of the Cubs series where you got no hitters into the seventh inning from two different guys and you lost that series, right? You think of 2012, I know Edwin Jackson got shelled, but for the most part, starting pitching was fine in that series. It was something else. It's always been something else. When this stays consistent, and this, by the way, has gotten to a new level, and you add in the Howie Kendricks of the world with the timeliest hitting that's ever been timed, you add in Juan Soto, you add in Rendon, finally, these guys offensively living up to their potential to deal with some great pitching from other teams, you got a chance to do something special, and that's what's happening.
He's Danny. I'm Grant. You are listening to The Fan every day at 11:45, our double play. We can theme it to the Nationals, even though generally it's non-sports next. Our Beltway Blitz at noon. We're chilling with you for 4 hours today. The Nats are one win away from the World Series. You're locked into The Fan. At noon, the Beltway Blitz on Grant and Danny. You're listening to The Fan. The Nats are World Series bound. It's so awkward and random and weird, I guess is the word. I'm searching for a word.
Okay.
To be so unplugged for a week on the Redskins in the middle of their season.
There was a Monday Night Football game last night.
Yeah.
Tell me how it went. You know,
right?
That's just so foreign.
Lions-Packers. We would be doing a full segment on that game normally.
There'd be ref discussions because apparently the refs were very refy.
Kyle Shanahan is coming back to FedEx Field this weekend.
For a revenge game.
Think about that. And maybe by the end of the week we'll get to it. I mean, if the Nats wrap up the NLCS tonight somehow, some way, and they wet paper towel the Cardinals on cornhole night, then potentially
that would call me.
By the end of the week we'll be back to the Redskins because the Nats won't have a game for a full week.
Yeah, Kyle Shanahan's going to run the ball for a first down and like look up at the owner's box. I mean, he's going to be just mean mugging everybody.
I will say I'm excited about this. At this time tomorrow, we'll be having a guest on. So if the Nats win, it's going to be essentially 4 hours of Nationals. If they lose, it's going to be 90% Nationals as well. Terry McLaurin's coming on the show tomorrow. I'm jacked up about that.
Oh, that is cool.
11:30. He is kind of the guy on this team right now that is really easy to pull for. He was playing well. So we will talk to him tomorrow.
A, I was wrong about that dude. B, he brings me joy.
He's great.
I really like watching him play football.
He looks like he could be a star. I don't think he's a number one. You know, he's not going to be in a 95, 100 catch, 1,300 yard, like 15 touchdown, big-bodied franchise-wide receiver. But I think he is he's a different body type. Like, he's not a Julio Jones. He's not an A.J. Green. But he could be – I'm trying to think of a comp for him.
Like, here's who I think of. Tell me where – like, could you see him trading places with Robert Woods in Los Angeles for the Rams and catching 1,300 yards in that offense?
Oh, definitely.
So, like, to me, he's one of those guys. Not a true – any team you line him up on, he's a number one.
Right.
But he could be somebody's best receiver in a great scheme.
Like, no doubt.
He's like a Tyler Lockett or a Robert Woods or somebody like that where you go, this dude is good.
Yeah. I wonder, though, I feel like he might be better than those
You think
guys.
So?
Maybe. I mean, he's a rookie. He's catching touchdowns every week.
This is a good point by you.
But I'm looking forward to catching up with him tomorrow. I'll say that. Let's get to our double play. What's going on in our lives, generally with nothing to do with sports. A little bit to do with sports. I figured we could just describe our evenings last night. I want to know what you ate. I want to know where you were sitting. I want to know some of the non-Nationals elements of your Nationals experience.
Section 114, row double L. So pretty solid seats. Surrounded by a
does
lot of...
Does it start doubled or does it go double after
doubles
the
doubles first, then singles.
Oh, so you're like 10 rows up?
No. The other way around. So we're a little further from the field than the first, than the single letter people.
Oh, okay. So singles first, then
singles
doubles.
First, and doubles. I was going from the concourse down.
I'm standing on the field.
I know you got the better angle of it. It's probably like stage left and stage right, but then as you're facing the audience, it's on the left. Point of the dude's story is this: surrounded by a lot of Cardinals fans, because I don't know how this works, but I've got a good buddy who's St. Louis Cardinals affiliated, and he came up for the game. He was in town. He got us all the block of tickets together. So a bunch of my buddies that I grew up with, we had the seats, and he was there. And then there's a lot of Cardinals people. They're introducing themselves to each other, so they didn't know each other, but they're all Cardinals affiliated somehow.
Okay.
And they're very pleasant, very Midwestern, very nice. And we had nice conversations. I sat behind John Brebbia's agent, which is pretty random.
That is random.
The dude who came in and ended up giving up a couple runs, so I felt a little
he
bit bad for that guy.
Not pitch well last
But not night. That bad enough that I wasn't going to cheer and overclap right in his right ear.
John Brebbia's had a heck of a run. He was a Rule 5 pick. I don't even think he was like the big league version of it, like the minor league version of the Rule 5. And now he's a legit reliever in the big league.
And so the agent and I were chatting between innings, and I was asking him, hey, is he ARB eligible? Is he close to being arbitration? He said, no, he missed Super 2 status by like 20 days. Kind of crazy.
Wow.
So anyway, good conversation. I had a hot dog with mustard on it, and my pal Quinn and I split a giant thing of tater tots. He went to just get tater tots
How
straight
up. How giant were they? Don't they just have those little brown... crates?
It was enough for two, and not a CK portion where he's not going to leave half of it. Like,
so you got enough? Was it a pre-share?
It was a pre-share, and it was plenty. He didn't top it with anything, and it was very popular in our section to get the tater tots and top it with like mac and cheese or pork or different things. He just went straight up tater tots, and he was feeling guilty that he should have done something more special with the tater tots. And I was like, sometimes tots and like a little dip can go up plenty of distance.
What was the dip?
Little barbecue sauce on one side, ketchup on the other.
Yeah.
I, of course, had barbecue sauce because ketchup is sugar water for children.
I know this will surprise you. I think I would prefer my tots just plain. It, crunchy it does, and fried.
Here's the point. That's delicious.
Yeah.
That's delicious, too. No one's saying it's not delicious to put mac and cheese and pulled pork and whatever you want to top tater tots with. Chili, they used to do hard times. These are all great things. No one's saying they're not. You know what else is great? Tater tots.
Tater tots.
Then get some of your tots.
What'd you have as a beverage?
Oh, just straight water, because your boy's fighting it.
Yeah.
This situation.
That's everyone pretty else, good. You made it through the night with just some tots and a dog.
And a dog.
You did well.
And some M&Ms and some ice cream. But the point is, everyone around me is slugging beers, and I was like the outcast.
What kind of ice cream? Please tell me you didn't do the ice cream of the future, Dippin' Dots.
No, because it's been the future for a long time, and we're still here.
Thom, you like Dippin' Dots?
Where's my hoverboard, Thommy?
I'm so sure they're the ice cream of the future. You can't have that slogan for 30 years and never take hold.
I know. I just get sized.
They're like, to me, there's almost like a metallic tinge to them. Like you. By the way, that's ice cream you chew. Those are little pellets.
That is chewy ice cream. And also, when I went up to Oriole Park at Camden Yards a couple months ago, they had their own Oriole flavored cookies and cream Dippin' Dots.
Really?
Yeah, so it was pretty much cookies and cream, just orange.
I was going to say, what is
it
the flavor
It didn't taste
of
like
Orioles?
A bird. No, but...
The flavor of Orioles baseball is like 113 losses,
yeah,
I think.
It's a lot of embarrassment.
Right. Okay, but you don't prefer it to real ice cream. I don't think I've ever met anyone who prefers it to real ice cream.
I think I might prefer it to real ice cream.
Dummy!
I'm not even doing a bit.
Dummy!
You like Dippin' Dots that much.
I will go out of my way at any professional ballpark, like arena, anything like that, to go and find the Dippin' Dots person.
Okay, non-ballpark.
And they're always so bitter when you show up because they never get any service. So they get assigned.
Well, here's who it is, Thom. It's you and a bunch of six-year-olds.
Right. And yeah. So, like, they have to serve, like, seven people the whole night. They think they have an easy night off. They can text the whole time.
Then here comes Tom. Right. Wanting
and I get an extra large.
Waddling up for a dip and dot.
I get the whole helmet.
Do they scoop that out? How do they do that?
What do they do?
I think it's like a
spoon.
It's not an ice cream scooper. It's like it's kind of like a popcorn scooper with the shovel type.
Because it's literally BBs. It's like little pellets.
Non-ballpark division. Let's say you're walking down a street in a major city. Let's say you and me are in Chicago. Two stores next to each other. One's a Dippin' Dots and one's like the world's best gelato, like world famous. Like Anthony Bourdain broadcast from there one time years ago, right?
Yeah, like Andrew Zimmern loves it.
Andrew Zimmern loves it, but not because it's weird, but because it's delicious.
Right.
Which store do you walk into?
Dippin' Dots.
Come on, Dom. So depressing.
No.
It's not depressing at all.
I'm going to post a poll. But it can't be ice cream versus Dippin' Dots. That's not a real poll.
Yeah, I mean, the poll is going to get crushed.
What about Dippin' Dots? You would eat Dippin' Dots over not having any ice cream, yes or no? Because I would say no.
No.
No, if I'm gifted Dippin' Dots, I'll eat it.
Yeah, I would never go completely against ice cream. But in a situation where it's head-to-head, like a freezer section, they've now made it so you can get it and bring it home. Definitely doing Dippin' Dots.
Down the left field line. You could stand at a spot that's equidistant between the Breyer stand and the Dippin' Dots stand.
The only way I would eat Dippin' Dots is if it was either that or meeting Marlins Man. If it was either meeting Marlins Man or eat Dippin' Dots.
Now, that's too harsh.
It is too harsh.
That's too much.
That's too much.
Oh, I mean, I know what you're trying to do.
I wouldn't bridge too far.
I know what you're trying to say,
I don't like Dippin' Dots is the point.
No, I got that.
Grant and Danny on the Fan, the Beltway Blitz.
Because you like chewy ice cream.
I do, but I chew regular ice cream, and it's delicious.
With ice cubes.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.